Hey, welcome everybody. It's time once again for another Health Talks with Dr. Trin. The one show, maybe the only show that shows you, gives you a view of healthier living. With the man with 20/20 eyesight when it comes to the future, Dr. Trin. Welcome, sir.
Hey, 2020 eyesight. Yeah, right.
Only when you're looking forward. Looking backwards, it gets a little foggy, but looking forward, you got a clear vision.
That's right. Good to chat with you guys. Hello. I have my good friend, Dr. Fred Ma, today. And we have known each other for a bit of time from CogniView is the organization he's from.
Okay. And what the heck is CogniView?
Hi, Dr. Trin and Paul, nice to meet you. And it's not first time I see you, and I watched a couple of episodes that your interview with Dr. Trin, and
thank you.
Your name is reciting.
Thank you. Hopefully,
back in my head. Already.
He's like, oh my god, I hope he doesn't. Hope he doesn't talk the whole time and ask me all these questions.
CogniView is a medical device company. Our technology are designed to provide healthcare providers a useful tool for cognitive evaluation and diagnosis of various neurodegenerative and neuropsychological disorders.
What? Where's the trumpet blast? Because this is what Dr. Trin says is missing. Most of these doctors have no clue, no cognitive view to figure out whether it's just, I don't know, you're just getting old, or you really got the early stage of Alzheimer's, or maybe you got a urinary tract infection like my late aunt used to get, and she started, you know, hallucinating, and they'd say, oh my God, she's got Alzheimer's, and then they'd cure that, and everything was gone.
Well, Dr. Trin, you and I need to get out of here, and Paul can handle it all. He knows everything.
I'm telling you, this is what he's been preaching and teaching and what I've seen for a long time. There isn't any blood test. Dr. Trin's talked about maybe one coming someday. There isn't any firm way to know, have you got Alzheimer's? Have you got what, or what have you got? And so they misdiagnose it, and now maybe something else could have fixed it. Like a simple thing like urinary tract. Why does, Dr. Trin, why does a simple thing like a urinary tract infection, which I'm sorry to say, my aunt, my mother, everybody, I'm going to be real blunt. This is going to sound horrible. Cover your ears. But as you get older, it was hard to go to the bathroom. It was hard to wipe yourself, clean yourself well. And so this residue would remain and they would get infected, but particularly older women like my aunt, my late mother. And all of a sudden that simple, you know, we take the temperature. Oh, she's got a fever or something here. There it goes again. But if they looked at it at first, it looked like she had suddenly lost it. Suddenly she's hallucinating. Suddenly she's unclear just from a simple urinary tract infection. I never understood that. Why?
Infections in general and the effects, the infection with the immune system creating inflammation from the infection and things of that sort can cause some temporary delirium, we call it, which is confusion. So definitely that can contribute to it. But more often than looking at problems with infections and memory loss, what we miss often in the community is the diagnosis of dementia, the diagnosis of Alzheimer's and cognitive decline and things of that sort. Most community physicians, it's not in our radar. When you have, you know, 10 minutes to see your patients, obviously one of the last thing to think about or discuss is your memory, right? So CogniView has a very innovative device. I believe you're the first FDA cleared device. Yes. Is that right?
Yes. Our device was cleared in 2015 as a de novo class 2 device, meaning the de novo, there is no predicate before us. So we have developed as a brand new device with preparatory algorithm that assess the patient's ability in key domains of the brain, such as motor function, visual function, perceptual processing, and memory testing. So using those algorithm, CogniView dynamically can change, they adapt to the test, to visual and motor ability of the user. And then overall, this digital system engineered to eliminate. Now, our focus is to eliminate the bias and the variabilities throughout the test that establishes, you know, cognitive baseline and provides a concurrent monitoring vehicle for the evaluation of the treatment of a cognitive issues over time.
All right. Now, I know he was speaking English. I saw his lips moving, but I'm not sure I understood some of the words and some of the things he's talking about. A bias? So if I look at you, am I biased? You're old, or you're this, or you're that. Am I not really looking at the real patient? Am I reading? I'm bringing my own biases into this. You're old. Of course you're losing your memory or whatever.
Paul, you're not only sharp, but you grasp it immediately about the key component. The bias means, you know, if you have anecdotal evaluation tool, what we call battery, assessment battery.
Okay. Right. Ask you some questions.
You could, you know, so say we call paper and pencil. Then prior to computerized, we call computerized, you know, digital assessment without a human factor to introduce. Mm-hmm. This is 10 minutes computerized self-assessed tool to assess every single, you know, neurological domain and reflecting your cognitive function without any impact of caregivers, nurses, doctors. Whereas before, it's a paper. There's questionnaires, 30 questionnaires the doctor or caregiver read to the patients. Okay? If they have accent, they have a slower, they're slower, they're quicker, they're faster, and then they come back. So those questions.
So you might just struggle with English or have an accent. I'm saying, cognitive decline.
Not only that, even your English, you know, literate and that, you know, the based on, you know, maybe Dr. Trent is a primary care doctor. Okay. I'm a neurosurgeon. I'm 40 years experience. So, you know, I think I'm a professional.
I'm not biased. I'm going to be,
Paul, you'd be surprising. The same patient and the different two doctors and the same test. Mm-hmm. You can have a different result.
Yes.
So that's called bias. That bias is really following the patients throughout the diagnostic process and then the treatment, diagnosis and treatment. So, you know, if this is every single stage, you introduce an error, one bias, one error. So you're cumulative, you know, there are more errors into this patient's history and treatment regimen and your decision making. So there will be a major risk for the patients, especially the cognitive decline patients. We have to pay attention on that. In the evolutionary changes, and I heard many, many radio talk show Dr. Trent give, you know, there are 220 years since Alzheimer's been identified. Yeah. And then we don't have too many drugs so far. The new drug disapproved that they're controversial. And the, you know,
we had did a whole show on that one. Check back. We brought some big experts in. Is it good? Is it bad?
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Does it work or doesn't it work? So, but let me raise the stakes on you here. Let me try and, cause that you brought up a good point and then I'll let Dr. Trin respond here. So we brought in these national Alzheimer's experts. Some of the people that testified before that subcommittee and decided, you know, whether we should approve this drug or not approve this drug. And the gentleman you had on, whose name escapes me here, very articulate. And he said, yes, it only works for a small number of people.
John Dwyer.
Yeah. And he said his feeling was something's better than nothing. But he then continued and said, maybe this will spur, maybe this will force everybody to come up with a better assessment tool because this drug's very, very expensive. $50,000 a year or something, $56,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And doctors, if they just, they never had anything before. Dr. Trin, he's looking a little slow today. I think it's cognitive decline. Here, try this pill. See if this will work. Mm-hmm. $56,000 later, they find out he didn't have Alzheimer's. He didn't have anything like that. It was a misdiagnosis.
Yes. So there is a need now because of this medication's been approved. Alzheimer's is now brought to the spotlight. And so, because Alzheimer's brought to the spotlight, the question is, how do you evaluate patients for a potential diagnosis?
Right.
What are there are different types of memory assessments, memory testing that can be done. And of the many types of memory testing that is available, it's all done from person to person. There's a person who is delivering the test to the patient and the patient giving these answers and things of that sort. And the issue is there's always a potential small amount of biasness when you're conducting it from person to person, just because we're humans, right? And sometimes these answers may be a little subjectively interpreted, things of that sort. What CogniView does is that it takes the human biasness out of delivering a memory test, a cognitive assessment, because it's all done by computer.
And so how does it work? Walk me through this. Who does it? What do you ask? And how long does it take? Everything. Walk me through this. I'm trying to understand what it is you do different. Still a test. Somebody, they still have to answer questions, right?
Yeah, it is a self-administered 10-minute assessment test that's including 6 cognitive domains that usually are reflected to the paper and pencil. And that's nothing different from the paper pencil categories, but it's computerized. You know, that 6 domains of visual spatial, memory, executive function, naming, language, delayed recall, abstraction, and then 2 other performance parameters that paper and pencil missing because you can't record speed processing and reaction time. So that's we objective.
Is it an app? Is it a
it's a computer. Site? It's a laptop. It's a laptop.
Okay.
And then it's a cover. Yeah. So if you go to our website and then you will see that device, it's a laptop size device and a covered with a shield. And then you have very good privacy. And also there is an only wheel in the middle called CogniWheel. You monitor, you operate and then to.
So it's an actual standalone, device. Can I buy this? Can I rent it? Does my doctor have to own one?
Yes, there's arrangement. You know, you have a capital purchase and we have price and then also you can do a monthly subscription and you pay for it.
But this must be just for doctors. It's a tool. It's something he or she puts in their office, right?
Yeah, the healthcare providers, the non-MD, MD, and you know, audiology, optometry, you know, wellness, the coach, you name it, pharmacist. And we have a long version, which is 10 minutes, and a 5-minute version, just a non-MD version is quick, including the 3 cognitive domains and the major domains, and also speed processing and reaction time. So that's long version and short version, that's all the same.
But and when I go to this device and I have a shield around it, does it measure my face? Does it listen to my answers? Do I have to type in something?
There's a shape. There's a word. Shape and letter. Okay. So they will show you how to capture and how to recognize the letter. And then and they give you a different pattern on the timing to appear that and they show you first and then want you to capture when this has appeared again. So that's we called visual spatial memory and to test your memory and executive function. And then to capture those, they call the shape, word, and the letter discrimination.
Yeah, imagine a little video game with a joystick.
Okay, so I'm trying to picture. I got a little joystick, and something happens, and I have to say, when do I see the mouse? When do I see the circle? When do I see the flashing lights? Or like when you go to the optometrist's office, when do you see the flashing light? Do you see it? Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a little video game with a joystick with easy instructions. And the cool thing is it collaborates with some of the validated cognitive assessment already out there. So
what does that mean? You lost me on that.
What that means is that the data from the testing is verified to be very similar to the already approved test.
So they've tested this and they've tested the simple pen and paper answer these 30 questions and they come up with similar.
Yeah, there are several major pen and pencil since 70s, and they call MoCA, they call SLOMS, they call MMSC. This device was during the FDA evaluation and clearance process. We did an extensive clinical trial to validate the compare with the existing paper and pencil gold standard, and then to validate the correlation and the retest reliability. We all superior than the paper and pencil gold standard.
Well, it must work because you're sitting in a coffee shop in Seattle just enjoying life here. And, you know,
and then my company is in Rochester, New York.
See? Yeah, it's amazing. So how is it? When was it approved? And how is it going? So you sell these to again, you said healthcare providers, more than just doctors. Could even be CVS. Has any chain like Walgreens or CVS, anybody step forward buy any of these?
Yes, exactly. So since it cleared in 2015, the company had to change major ownership in 2018 before the company called Cerebral Assessment System. And right now they call Cogniville Inc. Incorporated.
I like that name better. I stick with that. Yeah. I like that.
Since 2018. And since that, we have more new products on the market. It's called Cogniville Clarity, which is 10 minutes for mainly for neurologists and the neurosec and the MAMD channel. And then we have short version, 5 minutes, Cogniville Thrive for audiology, optometries, you know, pharmacists, and the wellness coaches company. But now there are more, you know, the chain pharmacies, and then they're contacting us. We're talking to a CVS. We're talking to, you know, the Walgreens, Humana, and then the, you know, it's a lot of independent pharmacy, chain pharmacy are talking to us because along with this new product and to be on the market, the pharmacy will be aligned with the pharmaceutical company to distribute the drug and then also follow up their progress concurrently on the therapeutic outcome. So our device could be very useful to be set in the pharmacy for patients to, you know, 10 minutes, you know, you can get the assessment and to give a very objective, non-biased data quickly to build up the post-marketing therapeutic outcome follow-up.
Amazing. So how do you think doctors are welcoming this? Dr. Trina, they've been waiting for this, or do they go, I don't need this. Paper and pen's fine.
Doctors are just learning about it right now. But there are a number of medical groups currently using it. USC is one, right? And they're in locally here in Southern California. So there are a number of groups throughout.
We have also University Hospital in Case Western Reserve in Cleveland. I have CCF, Cleveland Clinic Foundation, those are large institutions. And then after this meeting, I'm going to talk to University of Michigan.
Hey, there we go. Go Blue. That's where I went. Mention that you talked to me. I don't know if that'll help, but I'm a long alumni here, so that might give you a little input there.
Oh, really? Yeah. Michigan or Michigan State?
Bite your tongue. Which one could it be? It's only could be Michigan. I'm not a Spartan. I'm a Wolverine. Come on, kid.
I live in Cleveland. That's Ohio State. So, you know,
yeah. So, oh, well, we're going to have to cut this short, Dr. Trin. We may not be able to talk to him today here.
All right.
Yes, yes. Our goal is to really get this device into every doctor's office because, quite frankly, it's only a test that is about 10 minutes. Rather than a 20-minute test, a 30-minute test that gives you the accuracy that is comparable to the paper and pencil test.
That's right.
And so it's pretty quick and easy to do and is convenient. And I believe it's billable also, right?
Yes. And our long version, 10 minutes clarity, is billable. And there's several CPT code and you can bill for reimbursement. Just give you an example. Paul, in clinic, geriatric medicine department, they have 14 sites. They have a lot of geriatric population. They, the chairman of geriatric medicine, Dr. Hashmi, are collaborating with me. You know, because of geriatric, they have about 90 minutes per patient. Wow. Whereas, wow. You know, like Dr. Tran, if you're PCP, probably you have 30 minutes. That's maximum. less than 30 minutes. So you don't have that luxury to test the patients use paper and pencil, you know, and even you did, and you won't trust one vehicle and or battery. You maybe test parallelly with the MOCA and MMSE, right? And then PHQ-9. So you have to either compare the validator with this old pen, paper, pencil because of the biases, because of the human errors. But after trying our device in the geriatric department in Cleveland Clinic, and Dr. Hashmi concluded, okay, we can get rid of the rest of the batteries and we can use this one single thing to give us a very objective, you know, information to conclude our diagnosis in terms of the cognitive function. So that's testimonial is really, you know, demonstrate, you know, our device is really developed on the target.
Yeah. It's very exciting. You know what I'm really excited about, Dr. Ma, is using the device as a standard to determine if any therapy is defective or not. Where if I wanted to put my patients on, let's say, a particular diet for their brain, right, for their cognition, I could use the device before and then after and test out the,
exactly.
Yeah, the diet plan or the medication pill or any plan that I have for a patient for their cognition, that device can be my baseline and my follow-up.
And, correct.
And it's 10 minutes. I mean, who's going to argue with a 10-minute test that's already validated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. That's immediate benefits. And then there are a lot of potential benefits to healthcare providers, especially, you know, the earlier detection and then make you aware, oh, look like you're awfully healthy, why your score that low? And then we can, you know, deep dive, you know, the causes for, you know, underlying comorbidities. And, you know, we can have from a prevention standpoint, not only the treatment standpoint, you know, and then, like you said, follow up, you know, if we find out that underneath underlying comorbidity and the cause related to cognitive, you know, decline, we can treat it. We can treat that and then follow up. Oh, this is really the cause of your cognitive, you know, decline. Now we stop and then we reverse. So that's not only is assessment tool, it's a part of your, as I call it, surrogate. It's a surrogate. Yeah. It's a constant, give you a tool and then to have entire process of a healthcare pathway for each patient, you know, using the cognitive assessment as a surrogate.
Yes, love it. This device, because I've done lots of MMSE testing on, on patients in clinical practice and clinical trial, right? It's one of our
tests.
And the problem is the patient learns the test. And so if I were to do it again, they would come back and they're like, okay, I already memorized how to subtract 7 from 100. Or I already remember the 3 words you're going to ask me, right? Apple, table, penny, right? They already have it memorized the second time.
Right.
And so it makes the test kind of inaccurate the second time.
Right.
CogniView prevents that memorization, right?
Correct. CogniView, I'm glad you pointed that out. And we have 10 tests, 6 domains, and 2 performance parameters. And then the first 2 tests, which is visual test and then a visual acuity and then motor test, that's not contributed to your score, but you know, give you a calibration. The computer will calibrate your personalized information.
Yes.
You know, into the computer. And then to adjust when you do the test, the computer will adjust how to assess your domains. So each patient, each time there will be a different calibration, a different information into the computer, and the computer will recognize that this and they give you a new, fresh set of pattern. So there's no learning. There's no memorizing. You know, every single thing to you is a new test. Yes.
I love it. Do you know if this test is being implemented as part of, and this is more of a clinical question, if you know if this test is being implemented as part of like an annual wellness exam? I know an annual wellness exam, part of that component is a memory assessment. I don't know if Cleveland Clinic or USC or other locations actually is doing CogniView as part of their annual wellness, or if they're doing
not yet, but there are several other entities are talking to us and to try to build that into an annual wellness, and they call it a 6th vital sign.
Yes,
you know, we have 5 vital signs. You know, they have temperature, blood, and blah blah blah. So they call this the 6th vital sign. So yeah, once we have that campaign with several collaborators and then doing that, yeah, that's one of our goals is really on the way. Yeah.
Yes, this should be the 6th vital sign. Only it is a vital sign that's always missed, and it explains why in Orange County Alzheimer's is the number 3 cause of death.
Right.
And because this vital sign is missed all the time, we are not looking for it. And the part of the problem is patients think that memory loss is normal when you're older. And it's just general perception that, yes, I have memory loss. And of course I have memory loss. I'm older, right? I'm getting old. And the problem is the doctor thinks the same way, right? It's like, of course you're forgetting, you know, you're in your 70s, your 80s, your 90s. And, and we need to change that mindset because memory loss, especially progressive memory loss over time, is not a normal thing. It's not a normal thing. We cannot assume that it's just because you're older. We know that people, there are people who live in different parts of the world, you know, who get as old as Americans do, who live as long as Americans do, without Alzheimer's being at the top of their conditions.
Correct. Totally agree. And a neurodegenerative process is often been recognized as a definitive, right? It's actually, it's not definitive. It's a really neurodegenerative. It's a pathological process. And then if you accept that as a necessity, it's always that way. So the medication or medicine is nowhere to go. So, you know, all these years, the pharmaceutical device and the biomedical industry, and then and they carry a mentality as treating the disease. So now is the time, it's 21st century. We have to be aware that the prevention is equally important. So yeah, I totally echo your message, Dr. Tran. Alzheimer's dementia is preventable if your awareness is across the board. And so U.S. is a leading country for that. And, you know, we have almost six million diagnoses, you know, in 2050. It's going to be, be a triple and a quadruple this number. We got to slow that down. I think we could, you know, along with all this assessment, diagnostic and the prevention mindset altogether across the board.
I love what you say because we cannot prevent what we cannot detect.
Correct.
And so we need to detect cognitive decline, memory loss early in the stage of this process.
Right.
In order to implement, you know, I mean, nothing's 100% obviously preventable, but there's data out there showing that there's lifestyle activities we can do. There's diet, nutrition, exercise, brain exercise, physical exercise, getting enough sleep, all these different modalities in life that we can implement without taking an extra pill to improve our brain health.
Correct.
But you won't be able to implement this unless you actually look for the problem to catch the problem early for these lifestyle implementation and things of that sort.
That's very important.
Yeah, at least take a pill after the fact, right? After the diagnosis.
That's right. Yeah. American is really into it to put large investment and the long time development to go through blockbuster drug. But yeah, what you just said is equally crucial and important for the message to deliver in the general population. The mental health or brain health is really the top, if not the only thing, but the top few things you have to care, you know, the lifestyle and then brain health access, so to align with general health provider and then to change your lifestyle and the mindset and then to get into the prevention. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, you're right. We focus always. Our healthcare system is focused on making a diagnosis and prescribing a pill. It's it needs to be changed, right? I have patients come to us on a regular basis. You know, in the field of clinical trial, it's about Alzheimer's plaque, how to find it and how to get rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. How to find Alzheimer's plaque, right? Through PET scans, through all these other testing, and how to get rid of the plaque is what we do in the field of pharma. But we need to go a step before that. How does plaque form and how do you prevent that?
Mm-hmm.
And that is where CogniView plays a big role, right? How do you even detect that it's a problem in the first place? And unless we're testing our patients on at least an annual basis, we don't catch the problem early enough.
Right.
And sad to say that in the healthcare community, most of the time, by the time our patient is given the diagnosis of Alzheimer's, many of these patients are already at the moderate stage of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss the entire mild stage of Alzheimer's because during the mild stage, the patient thinks it's normal to be forgetful. And the doctor thinks it's normal too. So nobody brings it up because it's just getting older. And so we miss years and years of the mild stage where we can implement all these strategies with nutrition and with health and with exercise. And it gets, you know, and unfortunately, I mean, who wants to be diagnosed at the moderate stage, right?
You correct.
Miss a lot of opportunities with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You introduced in a very quick point. Dementia is not Alzheimer, but Alzheimer causes about 80% dementia. Yeah. So, and then the dementia is a symptoms consortium that's a cognitive impairment, right? So early detection, early diagnosis is the key. And then before those plaque is formed, can we prevent that? There's nobody knows that, but it seems like early detection awareness is the key. And then we could do something to prevent that.
Sorry, I dropped out for a minute. We were working on some audio issues. I think we had them solved, but I just wanted to double check them here for our live stream. Apologize for any loss that we had during there. I'm trying to ascertain, does this help you figure out if you have Alzheimer's or just dementia?
Well, yeah. So Dr. Chen, you can comment that. And Alzheimer is really the diagnosis. You have to find out in the blood, there are two major type of a protein called tau protein and amyloid plaque, amyloid beta protein. If you have that and then the check on the past scan and there is a amyloid plaque blockage on your diagnosis and it was Alzheimer along with the dementia symptoms. If you don't have that, but you do have a memory loss, you don't have executive function impairment, naming language and delayed recall, obstruction and, you know, any others. So that's definitely the dementia. So.
Yeah. So this is a test of cognitive function, which includes memory loss testing. So this is more to look for the general memory loss PAW. And then if there's memory loss from there, we dig deeper. Is this Alzheimer's related memory loss? Is this memory loss related to other reasons like depression related memory loss or hypothyroidism or vitamin B12 deficiency, right? Or medication side effect memory loss. So this is the initial assessment just to look for any cognitive problem that needs to, you know, be evaluated further. This is a screening test to look for that.
So what is the determination if you have Alzheimer's? It's still just anecdotal or you rule everything else out?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It used to be more of a guess, but it's less of a guess now. Yeah. We now look specifically for the presence of the amyloid plaque, right? That Alzheimer's plaque. And we can look for it through a spinal tap, CSF fluid. We can look through it through a brain scan. There are some laboratory blood work being evaluated in clinical research now.
Okay. All right. Well, how do we find out more about this? And then, you know, what comes next? Is there anything beyond this?
Well, what comes next, you know, in terms of this, we're talking about a cognitive assessment, right? Today, we're not talking about treatment of dementia and Alzheimer's. So that has to be, you know, Dr. Trent and I has to be becoming a routine, like a vital signs. You know, that's kind of a screening type of standard. So that's why, you know, yesterday we had a presentation. I said, you know, paradigm shift. So gold standard need to be reformed and that we should be on the part of the vital signs. We talk about this as six vital signs and that should be implemented into the healthcare provider and, you know, as a baseline screening. And we should get the people as early as possible to get cognitive screening to see whether there's a trend or any signal that you have early mild cognitive impairment. And then we can find out what the modality and the cause and any comorbidities underlying disease and start to prevent while mild to treat it, and then to prevent patients to slow down their progress if they do have the, you know, early cause of the, you know, dementia. Second is that the legislature need to be changed, and you know, from national level regulation. That so along with this wild recognition of the medical society, that the legislature should put that into the gold standard. And that's why I said that the paradigm shift. And then once that, you know, a lot of maneuver need to be followed up, like a reimbursement, and, you know, the schedule a new practice time for all across the medical societies to give the healthcare provider a time to assess very carefully about the patient's cognitive function.
So you mentioned legislative changes. I don't know what those would be. What would you like to see on a federal level or a state level to?
Yeah, so for, you know, directly related to, you know, so it's Medicare, Medicaid, and CMS, and they should.
What, I don't know what CMS is.
CMS is the Center of Medical Services.
Okay.
Medicare. Yes.
Yeah. That's Medicare, Medicaid. That's, I think this is the same level of FDA, you know. Yes.
But what would you like them to change? I don't know what you throw that out there. I'm trying to wonder.
Well, so, yeah. So, well,
you got some people write letters if we know what to write letters
like
for.
We'd like to see this will be on the reimbursement list once it's becoming a standard practices. Okay. And then the whenever you use this assessment to give patients on their baseline. And on their routine
so right
visits.
Now, if a doctor buys this device from, or this, yeah, this device, they don't get reimbursed from Medicare for the cost of that or for the use of it?
We have limited reimbursement. We have some code, you know, already issued.
Yeah, everybody's got to get a code that the doctor can put in and said, I did this.
Certain circumstances, not across the board.
Yes, that's great. I think Medicare did send a letter to every physician, at least the primary care physicians, within the last few months, promoting more cognitive testing and assessments and asking doctors to do more cognitive assessment. There is a specific code to create a cognitive assessment and care plan that's connected with these cognitive assessment, and Medicare did promote that in a letter to all the doctors.
And is that new? Is that a new direction for them here?
It's a new emphasis. It's there's been a code that's been there, but the Medicare is realizing that Alzheimer's is going to break the bank.
Yeah.
It's going to break the Medicare bank and budget. If we do not detect early and try to bend the curve.
You said that, and I've read that, and particularly after this drug came out. Now, part of it was in response to the drug. If they give this to everybody who shows cognitive decline without truly understanding whether they have Alzheimer's or whether this, a specific subset of people with Alzheimer's, that this might benefit at this high dosage level that they will give this out. If they don't determine that and doctors pass it out to everybody, that $56,000 or whatever part of it they're going to cover, that could break the bank. And you're saying with or without that problem, Alzheimer's itself, the fact that you've got all these people in decline, and then what? All the other things that happen because of that?
Yep. The decline in health that is associated with the progression of Alzheimer's. If we don't detect this problem early and make a difference to bend the curve, the number of patients that will be getting this diagnosis, it's going to triple in the next, you know, by 2050, I believe.
Is that just because we're getting older and more apt to have cognitive decline?
I can't blame it all on age, Pa, because there are folks in other countries who get just as old as Americans do without Alzheimer's.
Like where, like so the Asian countries, Japan or something or whatever?
Yeah, there are a number of locations around the world. You know, there's kind of goes along with the longevity situation, you know, these blue zones around the world where people live to 100 years old, and they live to 100 years old pretty healthy without, you know,
supposedly up in the Ural Mountains because they eat yogurt or something, or there's Asian countries because they eat fish diets or something. I don't know, something.
Yeah. So it's not all just aging, but we do have the American diet, which is not a good diet. It is a pro-inflammatory diet.
But it tastes good. Burgers and fries taste good. Come on.
I totally hear you. And so, I do look down on all burgers with one exception, which is In-N-Out Burger.
That one, you find a little extra.
That one's physician approved.
Oh, great.
This physician here.
This physician.
In-N-Out Burger with, you know, chopped jalapenos. And the grilled onions on it. That's the exception. But otherwise, we have a lifestyle in the U.S. that promotes inflammation, promotes diabetes, obesity, and Alzheimer's. And Medicare sees this. It sees that an Alzheimer's patient takes up a lot more Medicare resources than a non-Alzheimer's patient because of the decline of health, right? So they get hospitalized.
They don't eat. They don't sleep. They don't do things. They forget to take their pills, on and on and on. This, you're not in charge of your full faculties here. You're not going to walk. You're not going to be social. You're not going to do anything. All of it. I saw that in my mother's case. We've talked about this many times. My mother had Parkinson's, but out of that, she developed dementia. And I don't know, was it Alzheimer's, whatever, why, it doesn't matter to categorize it anymore. There's nothing that anybody could do about it. And she, as her mind declined, her body declined with it rapidly. And I don't know which came first, the body or the mind, but I know that as her body shook, her fears and her mental impairment grew. And all of a sudden she got sick. Everything affected her. A little cold would knock her out. You know, she wouldn't walk. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't talk. She wouldn't do anything. And just, it was a very dramatic decline as her mind declined.
Yeah, mind decline is one of the major pathological symptoms of Alzheimer. But Alzheimer now is ranked as number six, you know, the deaths in U.S. and becoming the world number six. The why is that, you know, Alzheimer has so much higher the death rate is just like you said, Paul, as once your mind declined and that, you know, so the cause of Alzheimer, this is a plaque, right? It's an amyloid plaque and block all the neurons in the neurotransmission. That's the, you block all the neurons, neurotransmission, your, you know, blood circulation, your respiratory system and your all the neural, you know, central nervous system and all the digesting, you know, endocrinology system. So all slow down, all impaired. And then once you get the threshold passed, you're gone.
That's interesting because I never think of your mind affecting your digestive system. You rattle off two or three others here, you know, that my mind doesn't control my body, but I guess it does.
Yeah, central nervous system controls everything. It's control your sleep, control your, you know,
your digestion, your everything.
Yeah,
your
digestion, everything. Yeah.
So if this is such a priority, why isn't everybody got one of these things already? What's holding it back? And whatever else comes next, as you talked about, other things, other therapies, treatments, assessments, other sorts of things. Is this the first? Are we going to see a flood of stuff? Or is there, I guess I'm trying to get, and I'm not trying to be tough on doctors, but you said it all. The doctor's only got 15, 20, 30 minutes to do this whole thing. Their practice is set up that way. Their reimbursements. Mm-hmm. And so they rapidly go through things and they go through checklists. I'll let you tell me, I made my visual assessment. We look at your labs. I count everything on the labs. I see this, take this pill, do this. And then maybe I ask you a question or two that sort of determines, are you still there? But there's very little dialogue or discussion. I used to drive my aunt, late aunt, crazy as she declined, as she got older. The doctor would start dictating his notes as he walked into the room because it was all based on the labs, and the last report and everything. And I'd say, and she'd say, don't you want to talk to me? Oh, yeah. How are you? Yeah.
Yes. Dr. Trent, I'd like you to answer that.
He's going to step on the landmine here. But I think therein lies a problem. If that's the way the system's set up, that's a system that's set up to read reports and to make some quick visual notes. It's not a question to ask you a 10-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute cognitive test, either to ask you or to administer a test or even to think about it.
And that, Paul, is exactly why Alzheimer's is an epidemic.
There you go.
because our system is not designed to even look for problems for prevention like Alzheimer's or dementia, right?
No time.
It's not designed. There's no time. Our system is set up to make a diagnosis and to write a prescription,
yes,
right? Or send you to surgery or whatever, right? And that's the toolbox we have. And until we fix that paradigm, until we have a paradigm shift that shifts it to early detection and prevention and wellness, right? We need to shift that. We need to shift reimbursement toward that. We need to give doctors more time to do that type of testing. Unless you shift that, you know, nothing changes and Alzheimer's will continue to become a huge problem. But here we are at this discussion on a radio show because we want to bring awareness that this is a problem.
And what can I do? I'm helpless. I didn't design the Medicare reimbursement system. I don't know how to change it. I, as an individual patient, am always frustrated by it. I understand the pocketbook issues. We want to minimize costs. We want to make it efficient. We want to get people through the system. I get all of that. But in the process of turning it into an assembly line, have we lost the ability to talk and spend time with the patient and assess?
Well, Paul, that this has been the rising significance of this question, you know, and has always required top-down, bottoms-up efforts.
Right.
And then I just mentioned the legislatures and the, you know, American is a typical capitalism country. And then, you know, we have our established system. We have our recognition about economy and then everything's serving the country's economies. You know, once you see this preventive implementation is not making the economy better, there's less interest of that. But it's improving right now. But we have to raise our voice. And Paul, you are not doing anything. You're doing anything. And you're doing something that, you know, to broadcasting this kind of a conversation.
Yeah.
To let people hear from Dr. Trent and me and from bottoms up, we wanted to make the case, the testimonial to prove, you know, it is true. It is work. Once you pay attention and early detection of cognitive impairment, that will give the population a chance to prevent that further worsening about the
symptoms. Particularly as we're coming out with pills, first one in 18 years, that might do something a little bit for somebody. More pills to follow, more treatments to follow. I guess it's not really a pill, it's a shot or something.
That's only a small fraction of it, although that's making billions and billions of dollars, you know, so what? But, you know, majority effort is focusing on prevention.
And again, as Dr. Trin always talks about, healthy brain, there's ways to avoid this,
yes,
to mitigate it. You don't have to wait till you're sick and then give me the pill, doc, and wipe out the plaque. It's
right.
Not just cholesterol. Gee, I got a potential for a heart attack, so give me the pill and we'll wipe out the plaque like I do in my blood
veins. There's no such thing, Paul. There's no such things. You know, even this is aducanumab, it's not wipe out the plaque. You know, the data still anecdotal, need to be further investigated. That's why the Office of Investigator General is involved for this. And so it's a long time to go. You know, in the meantime, I'm the boomer generation.
Yeah, me too.
Probably you too. And, you know, we got to kind of pay a lot of attention. About
Dr. Trin, he's I don't know where he was. He looks like he's 12 all the time here. He never looks old.
He's a baby. So, yeah.
Baby
so,
skin, yeah, right.
Yeah, so this top down, bottoms up need to be, is really, really.
So maybe if, as my late father used to say, and he really believed this, he was just of that greatest generation, it all comes down to money. He'd always say, wait a minute, the answer is money. Now, what was the question? And whatever question you come up with, the answer for him was money. You know, why didn't the Catholic Church, we're Catholics, why didn't the Catholic Church allow priests to get married? It's money. It's not about anything.
The question?
It's just money. Yeah. Yeah.
The question is where the money goes.
Yeah. So, you know, if he were alive today and listened to this, he would just shrug and he said, why are you guys debating this? It's all about the money. So right now the doctors don't make enough. The system doesn't pay them enough. Nobody gets reimbursed enough. And so there's no money in diagnosing Alzheimer's. But if, as Dr. Trin said, all of a sudden the cost of Medicare and taxes and everything to support this goes up, wow, we're busting the system. Suddenly everybody's going to say, well, let's save some money.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We're wasting a lot of money. We do have money, but you know, we don't know how to wisely allocate those money.
Apparently,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we do know to make sure those money and then to put into enough on the prevention, put into enough in the early detection, put enough on the aging population, and or you know, so probably we'll be okay.
And somewhere along the way, but it'll have to get to be the big crisis before we pay attention to it. You know, I'm surprised, and we've talked, we'll end with this, that, you know, there is more and more push for prevention. I never heard the word prevention when I was a kid. I prevent, other than brushing your teeth, prevent, you know, dental decay, brush your teeth. But other than that, I didn't do anything to prevent anything. And the hope was whatever happens, there'll be a pill, there'll be a procedure, there'll be a surgery, and I'll fix it. And I go right back to it. I get fat, there's liposuction. There's, I get cholesterol, there's a pill. There's Lipitor or something. There's a, someday I want a pill to wipe out everything here. But as we get older and live longer and the costs go up accordingly for all this, more and more, I think I'm with Blue Shield or, you know, Blue Cross or something here. Sorry to say, I don't even remember what I signed up for, one of those two. And more they're saying, hey, why don't you come in and talk to somebody about this? Why don't you talk to somebody about that? Why don't you do a little telemedicine? Why don't you check in more? Here's some other things you might think of. We will reimburse you for a gym membership. Hey, there you go. Other sorts of things. I don't know that we haven't gone far, but we're starting to think ahead. Maybe it's better for us and cheaper for them if we start preventing rather than just trying to cure.
Yeah, good conclusion.
What do you think, Dr. Chun? Take us out on that. Should we be focusing more on prevention or just on the cure?
Excellent point. I don't remember.
I'm having a little trouble.
Wellness, prevention, preventive medicine. You've heard the word, an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure.
Yeah.
So we need to detect early memory loss. It is not normal. Progressive memory loss.
It's not inevitable. Let's put it that way.
Not inevitable. Yes, we should not think that this is going to be something that's inevitable, and we can do it with memory assessments, testing, and especially with the cognitive devices, which takes the bias out of testing in primary care offices as well.
Well, you put it up on the site, CogniVue, CogniVue. Get a view of your cognitive situation here from CogniVue. You can't go buy this yourself, folks. You got to get your doctor to get one, or your pharmacy, or somebody in your health system to get one of these things.
There you go. Yes.
And go tell them, go down to CVS and say, where's your CogniVue machine? They'll say, what? That's what I want my MTV, as we used to say when I was younger. I want my CogniVue.
That's right. Thanks so much, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Tran. Thank you, Paul, for this wonderful talk. I have another call. So
we got to go. Thanks so much.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, there we have it. Another way to improve your life. Longer health starts with cognitive health. You heard it here in Talk Talks with Dr. Trent, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net. Streaming live from the Cove here at UCI.